tonight. I have to just be honest with you. What I want to share with you, it's more than just a talk, okay? You know, you get talks and then you get life. You know what I mean? Sometimes they're different. Sometimes you just get a talk that's out of the file because you got to do it. Sometimes you just get life for a while. And so it may be sloppy. It may not all start with the same letter, all the points. But work with me, because what I want to share with you is very real in my life, in the lives of people that I'm struggling with and walking with. I had a little bit of nostalgia. My dad retired from 40 years of ministry in the local church, and they were having this big party for him, and so I decided to put together a video or a kind of a media thing to celebrate his ministry. And so I pulled out literally boxes and boxes in the storage unit of just, you know, his life and ministry. And so I started back when he was like in his 20s and laying out newspaper articles and photographs and all kinds of stuff when I came along and my sister came along, and all the way through the different churches that he was at. And I mean, we finally edited it, got it all put together. When I first saw it, I just thought I'd weep like a baby. You know, I was just so proud of him. And we showed it to him. I said, "Dad, you're going to cry. You're going to cry. You're going to cry." You know, and so put it up there. And sure enough, he did, and my mom did. But it got me to thinking, you know, your life can go by like that. You know, you can wake up, and it's 20 years later. You know, I'm about to have my 20-year high school reunion. Hello, where did that go, you know? Where did this come from, you know? Where did my hair go? You know, I mean, it's just like, boom, you know. All of a sudden, your life is, it can be over like that. And it got me to thinking, you know, is what I'm doing now, am I just doing the dance, you know? Am I just kind of doing the thing? Am I just kind of going through the motions? Am I, you know, filling in all the blanks? But is my life really making any difference? I came down here with some guys. We're at kind of different stages in life. But every one of us, the topic of discussion on the way down here was, you know, what is this really about? I mean, is it chasing the promotion? Is that really what it's about? Is it who can make the most income? Is that what it's about? Is it climbing the ladder in my career? Is that really what it's about? I mean, before we got out, these guys were saying, you know what? That's vanity. That's what Solomon says is vain pursuit. What is it really about? What I want to do tonight is I want to talk to you about how to have a life of impact. How do you know that 30 years later, 40 years later, that your life will have a significant impact in the lives of other people? There's a difference between living a life of success and a life of significance. Success is, you know, climbing the ladder and being better than everybody else around you, at least for a while. Significance is making a difference in the lives of men and women over a longer period of time. Making a difference in the lives of men and women over a period of time. You know, when I think about significance, there's nobody that had more significance than Jesus. And if you got your Bible, I want you to open it up, because I'm going to show you, this is John chapter 4. I want to show you a passage here that sometimes we run by and we go, "Oh yeah, I know that verse, and that's kind of attached to this other story." But we kind of miss that Jesus was giving us an outline here of how to live a life of impact, how to live a life that makes a difference. And it just jumped off the page to me, and this is what I'm modeling my life after. This is my grid. You know, if I had somebody who's very successful come to me and say, "Craig, I'm going to share with you in a very simple couple of steps how your life can make an incredible impact all over the world," I would perk up, especially if that person was Jesus. What we're going to find is Jesus is going to be telling his disciples, and at first run, they don't even get it. But you're going to get it tonight. John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 27. And if you're going to take some notes here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write the word "impact" down on the left side of the sheet, because I'm going to use it as a little acrostic to help you remember it. Okay? John chapter 4, beginning verse 27 through 38. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wage. Even now the harvest is the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor." Let's pray together. Father, in these next few minutes, oh God, deliver us from pursuing vanity. God, deliver us from being so caught up in the moment and in the season of our life that, God, we miss what it means to make an impact in the world. And oh God, would you visit us right now? Would you, just through the teaching of your word, through the pages of your word, would you visit us in a way tonight that we would know that, Spirit of God, you are moving and you are teaching, and that this is falling on good soil that's going to take root and it's going to produce fruit. God, speak to us tonight. We pray this in your name. Amen. How to have a life of impact. Let me give you I. The first one is I, and that is integrity. Jesus had tremendous integrity. Integrity means simply that you are what you preach. Integrity means that you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. Integrity means that your conduct and your conversation and what you believe, your convictions, are the same. And Jesus was that kind of guy. When we see this situation, you kind of probably already know the setting. Jesus has gone through Samaria. Wasn't the best place to go. He decides to go there anyway. He parks at Jacob's well. The other guys go in to get some food. It's late. They've been traveling a long time. They're dusty. They're tired. They're stinking. They're hot. They're ready to just eat something and bed down for the night. He parks there. They go on in, and a woman comes in the latter part of the afternoon to draw water because nobody else was there. He has this encounter with this woman at the well, right? And it's through that encounter that she comes to realize that he's the Christ. And so she's going back. And so what we see here is kind of the changing of the scene. You know, she's leaving, they're coming in. The scene is kind of changing. And they're trying to get him to eat something. What I want you to pick up first is the fact that Jesus was off stage at that moment. He didn't have to be on. You know, there wasn't the crowd there. The lights weren't on. They weren't videotaping anything that he was doing. He was off stage. He was just hanging out. And he was with this lady who nobody wanted to be around. And yet, in that moment, he was very much the same as he was when he was on stage. He was very much the same as when the lights were on, when the crowd was there, when he was healing and teaching and preaching. He wasn't off. He was the same. And he could have very easily said, "Lady, I've had a hard day. I don't want to deal with you." But he didn't do that. He had tremendous compassion for this lady. And he was able to see her need. And he was able to talk to her need because he lived a life of integrity. Let me just say this. If you're on stage or off stage, if there is a difference there in your life, you will not live a life of integrity. And you will not live a life of impact. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Baptist churches, and there was a guy that was my youth pastor. Great guy, tall, athletic, good-looking, very charismatic. He was a youth pastor for a while. He went up, moved to another church, and ended up having an affair with a woman there. And lost his ministry and lost his impact. I went to college, Texas Tech University, and while I was at Tech, I had a college minister that poured his life into me, and I mean, he taught me how to study the Bible. We would go on camping trips, and all we'd do is just talk about the Word, talk about the Word. I knew he was going, Craig, shut up. Craig, go to sleep. Craig, be quiet. But I'm going, man, talk to me more. I mean, I would have pages of legal pads of questions, and I'd say, please answer this for me. And he poured his life into me. Something went weird in his brain. He left his wife, had an affair with a woman. I haven't seen him again. When I went to seminary, I had a seminary prof that would stand there. He was the best dressed guy. You know, everybody else dressed kind of goofy, but he would actually dress nice. And he'd have like starched shirt, and he'd have, you know, the tie thing going, and he would stand up there, no notes. I mean, this guy, unbelievable. He would stand there with no notes and just hold out his Bible and just teach the Word like this. We'd all be crying, you know, in the back. I mean, we're not even taking notes anymore. We're just having a moment, you know. And I would go, God, how does this guy do that? This is school, you know, it's supposed to be boring. And I mean, I'm under conviction. I'm walking the aisle, and he's going, no, this is not church. You know, go sit down. You know, I mean, I'm like, I'm meeting with God here, you know, and found out this guy was seeing another woman at that very time in another town and lost his teaching post at the church. Why do I say that? I'm not just saying that because I'm ragging on all the guys in that, but what I am saying is this. Somewhere along the line, they thought they could be something on stage and something different off stage. And you can't live that way and have a life of impact. You can't do it. The first thing to conquer, if you're going to have a life of impact, is that you are whole. Integrity comes from the word integra, Latin, which means wholeness, completeness. That means I am walking with God. If I'm going to have a life of impact, it means that first off, I've got to be walking with God myself. And I have to be living off stage what I am on stage. Does that make sense? That's crucial. Second thing of integrity is our impact is a mission. Jesus knew his purpose. When he gets here, they've been traveling and so on, and they say, Jesus, you need to have some food. And look at what he says here in verse 34. I love this. He said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He said, you know what? I have been sent on a mission. Jesus said, I am here for a purpose. You guys don't understand. My food is to accomplish the mission that I have. Jesus knew why he was here. Jesus had two missions when he was here. Mission number one, John chapter 3, was to give his life as a ransom for all men. His purpose was to go to the cross. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he came to do that by going to the cross as a substitutionary atonement for you and for me. Praise God, right? That was his mission. He set his face like flint toward Jerusalem in his latter days because he knew his purpose. Jesus also had another purpose. Some that escape us sometimes. That's in John 17, verse 3 and 4, where Jesus is praying, a high priestly prayer, and he says, I have accomplished the mission that you had for me. So, well, hold on, Jesus. You haven't gone to the cross yet. Well, you're confused. You say you accomplished it. No, you haven't done that yet. No. Jesus had another mission. You know what that other mission was? To raise up a cadre of men and women who would carry on the ministry once he was finished, once he had accomplished the cross. He was gathering around him men and women that would have that passion to carry it on. That was his mission as well. Let me tell you something. God has given you that same mission. God has given you a mission to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ right where you are. Right in your dorm, right in your apartment complex, right in your relationships, right in your friendships, right in your family, right where you work, right in your class. God has given you a single mission. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, let me just serve notice on you. You have one mission. It's not to make $1 million before you're 30 years old. It is not to, you know, end up in a history book. Your mission is to advance the kingdom of God. That is your mission. In fact, Jesus clearly said in John 20, 21, he said, as the Father has sent me, guess what? I am sending you. That is your mission. And let me tell you what, somewhere along the line, we get off on our mission, don't we? Somewhere along the line, we get deluded from it, or we get distracted, or we get detoured, or somewhere along the line, we're starting off good, and then all of a sudden, we're pouring our life into this relationship that has nothing to do with God's purpose. In fact, it's taking you away from God's purpose. Or we get involved in this activity that's taking you away from God's purpose. These guys that I wrote down here with, this one fellow, a good friend of mine that's here tonight, he said, you know what? I finally realized that I'm not in my job to make a name for myself or to make a big career for me. I am in my office because I'm there to advance the kingdom in my office. He said, what that looks like for me is I'm going to get a couple of guys that I know that need encouragement. We're going to have a Bible study in my office. And you know what? He's advancing the kingdom right there. He's being light right there. Let me tell you what, follower of Jesus Christ, your mission is to advance the kingdom. And if you're going to make an impact, you can't be diluted. You can't be going 10 places at once. You've got to have one mission and know what your mission is and stick with it. And that mission is to advance God's kingdom through your life. Number three, IMP, perception. Jesus was perceptive to what the Father was doing. You know, this is really in contrast to the disciples. The disciples didn't want to be in Samaria. They didn't want to be at the well. They didn't want to be talking to this woman. They wanted to get out of there. They're like, Jesus, can we move on from here, please? Can we move on? But Jesus was perceptive to what God was doing. If you want to have a life of impact, you must be able to perceive where God is at work and join Him. Anybody heard about Blackaby? Anybody heard, see where God's at work and join Him? This didn't start with Henry. It started with Jesus, okay? Jesus was the master of being able to see where God was at work and join Him in that. The disciples didn't want to be there, but what Jesus saw was a woman, and He saw an area, and He saw some people that were able to be used and able to be open and able to be confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, He says this. He said, you know, 4 months and then the harvest, but I tell you, open your eyes and look at the harvest. I mean, put it in my paraphrase, it would be like saying, come on, guys, open your eyes. I mean, you're so wired in on getting, you know, your meal tonight. Open your eyes. Don't you see what's around you? Probably at the very moment, most scholars believe that He was saying, open your eyes, that woman had been leaving. And if you keep reading in that text, it says that as He was saying that, there were people coming to Jesus. In other words, she had already gone back to her house and her neighborhood and said, come see this man that told me everything I ever knew and everything I'd ever done. And she was bringing these people, and as they're trailing in from the city, He's saying, hey guys, open your eyes. Do you see this? God's reaping a harvest right here. You know what? What I think is that there are many people who go through their spiritual life just like this. You walk in your dorm, and you open up your door, and you walk in, and you don't open your eyes to there are two people, or there are folks on either side of your dorm room that are probably going to bust hell wide open if they don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you're sitting right next to in chemistry class or in, you know, accounting or whatever you're into, they're sitting right next to you that doesn't know the love of God. That there are people that are right in your sphere of influence that if you would just see perceptively where God is at work, see perceptively what God is doing, that God could use you for an incredible impact. You don't have to get on a plane and go to Budapest. You don't have to go on a plane and go to Africa. You can make a difference right where you are. And it begins with opening up your eyes to see where God is at work. I, you've got to have a life of integrity. M, you've got to have a sense of mission. P, you've got to be perceptive to where God is at working and being able to join Him there. A is action. Jesus took action. You know what? You can Say, man, I'm walking with God, I know my purpose, and I'm being perceptive, and you can still not make an impact if you don't do something. You've got to do something. You've got to engage. You've got to act. You know, back in Jesus' day, they had six seasons of the year. It was divided up into six groups, about 2 months each. They had the seed time, they had the winter time, they had the spring time. They had the harvest time, they had the summer time, and they had the extreme heat time. And there was about 4 months between the planting time and the harvest time. At the end of the planting time and the beginning of the harvest time, about 4 months. And so there became this notion, this saying around the farmers, you know, in the co-op. You know, I grew up in West Texas. There, I know all about co-ops and, you know, all that kind of deal. Where you eat donuts and drink, you know, 5-day-old coffee and with a, you know, with a spoon and all that kind of thing. And they're hanging out at the co-op back in Jerusalem, and they would have this saying, and the saying would go something like this: oh, you know, 4 months in the harvest. Because it literally was from the end of the seeding time to the beginning of harvest time, 4 months. And what happened here was that phrase began to calculate into slang for we got plenty of time. Ah, it's 4 months to harvest. Kick back, relax, we got plenty of time. 4 months to harvest, we got plenty of time. Jesus quotes that very phrase here. He said, do you not say 4 months in the harvest? Look at your eyes, open your eyes. Field's ripe for harvest. And then look at what he says. He says, even now the reaper draws his wage, even now the harvest. They harvest the crop for eternal life. He goes, even now, guys, they're out there reaping it in and already getting their paycheck. Already, they're out there harvesting for eternal life. No, it's not 4 months in the harvest. It's not later. It's not after I get out of this semester. It's not maybe this summer. It's not when I'm a senior. It's not when I graduate. It's not when I get married. It's not when I get in my career. It's not after my kids get out of high school. It's not after when I get in retirement. It's not when I have time. It's not when I have money. It's not when I have more resource. No, it's not later. It's now. It's right now. The moment of impact is right now. It is in your relationship now. It's with your neighbor now. It's with your classmate now. It's with that relationship now. It's now. And I tell you what, I have more people come to me and say, Craig, you know, I believe what you're saying, and I want to make a life, but you don't understand my situation. And I usually give them a very loving, warm, pastoral timeout. And I say, you know what, you're right. I don't know your situation, but I do know this. It's not 4 months to the harvest. It's right now. There's a lady named Janie that's in our church. And I just want to brag on her for just a minute. She just retired from being a principal, an elementary, very successful principal. And her husband, Paul, finally got on track here that they have a mission. And that they were living lives in integrity and they had the sense of mission. And they began to perceive that in their neighborhood, they didn't know any of their neighbors, and they had lived there 20-some years, and they had this all of a sudden fear of God that a neighbor could die and go to hell, and they would have been next to them for 20 years and never shared the gospel. And they were thinking, how am I going to explain that to the Father? How I can live next to them that long? They said, we got to do something. So they ran off a goofy brochure off their computer and they went around to their neighbors, and they just said, hey, you know, as they were about to slam the door in their face, they'd say, so we're your neighbor, and we just want to get a chance to know you. We just think we ought to get together. And so they had a party, and sure enough, everybody showed up. Every single one of them showed up. And they were, like, glad to meet each other. And they were shocked. I mean, Jenny Pardes looking at them like, no way. And they're in our house. And then they said, hey, we're thinking about maybe having a Bible study. You think you might want to do that? And a large group of them said, yes, we want to have a Bible study in your house. And so they opened up their home. They started doing a Bible study in their home. These people couldn't find Genesis with two hands. I mean, they didn't know anything. And they began to sit them down. They began saying, we're just going to go through the Gospel of John, and we're going to talk about Jesus. First night, there was a lady there, and she said, At the end of that first night, she said, "Now I know why Jesus came. Now I know why Jesus came." Isn't that great? Never understood that. After several weeks of their ministry, that lady gave her life to Jesus Christ. And they're discipling her right now. She came out of a life of drug addiction, of being a stripper at one time, of being just far, far from God. And now all of a sudden, her life is being utterly transformed. Her husband's life is being utterly transformed with the gospel. Let me tell you what. Janie and Paul Scott are making a difference. They are making an impact. And it wasn't later. It was now. Let me tell you, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from making a difference right now? At some point, you've got to engage. At some point, you've got to take action. Once that happens, then C is really where it gets fun. Once I've got my life together integrity-wise, once I know what my mission is, once I am beginning to be perceptive of what's going on around me and I'm starting to take action and I'm meeting with those people, I'm beginning to engage, then the next thing, C, is cooperation. What Jesus did was Jesus began to get others to join Him in His mission. And He began to say, "Okay, listen, I want you to not only see what I'm doing, I want you to join me in it." That's what the whole idea with the disciples were. Look at what He says in verse 37. He said, "Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." In other words, what He was saying is, listen, it takes a reaper and it takes a sower. And He said, those two work together in cooperation to bring in a harvest. He said, "I want you guys to join me in my mission. I want you guys to cooperate with me." Let me tell you, your kingdom advances in cooperation with each other. It advances one life at a time, but it happens in cooperation. I remember hearing this not too long ago about a girl that was lost. I lived out on a farm like in the Midwest, and she was out playing on the farm, and they didn't think anything about it, and it started getting kind of dark, and they were looking for her, and they couldn't find her, and it started getting dark quickly, and this time of year it got very, very cold at night, and the mom was getting really nervous, and the dad, and they were out calling her name and running around the farm and calling out her name, didn't hear anything. They started to really panic because it was getting dark now, and they knew that she wouldn't be able to make it in the cold, and so they called their neighbors, and their neighbors started coming up with pickup trucks and shining their headlights out in the cornfields and pulling up. Many neighbors came in, and they divided up into groups. They said, "We've got to find her now. We've got to find her quickly." And so they started going to all these different groups and started hollering at her name, calling out her name, looking for her. And they finally get to a point where it's been late into the early morning now. In the very early morning, it's been very, very cold. They've been covered up. And finally, this one guy says, "Hey, we need to lock arms here. And maybe let's just take one more pass through." And so they held arms and they began to do this large sweep through these fields. And one guy hit something as he stopped and he bent down. And there was a little girl and she was dead. And he picked her up. He said, "I found her. I found her." And he was holding her. And he started just weeping. And he said, "If we'd only locked arms sooner, maybe we would have done something." Let me tell you what, folks. You have a campus that is lost. Lost and separated from Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be just one person. And it's not just going to be, "Oh, you know, I'm going to try to..." No, it's going to take an army to lock arms. The whole mission and the whole passion behind this organization that you are in right now is about locking arms and cooperating together to advance God's kingdom together. And listen, if you're on the sidelines, it's time to get off the sidelines, because impact is waiting for you when you cooperate. And the joy, you know, the only time that Jesus said He was filled with joy, you know what it was? It was when the disciples had gone out, they had gotten it, and they were reproducing it, and they came back, and they said, "Jesus, man, we're seeing people saved." And it says at that point, Jesus was filled with joy because they were getting it. They were reproducing it. They were cooperating with it. Let me ask you, who are you locking arms with? Is there anybody that right now you say, yes, I am in cooperation to advance God's kingdom with a person or with a group of people? C is cooperation. The last one is T, and that is transmission. That Jesus transmitted this process to other people. He infected others with a vision of making a difference. This woman went on. Look at what it says in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what You have said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Jesus infected her with this reproductive mindset that she could have an impact. Here's a woman that nobody wanted to be around, and she had an impact that changed her community. Jesus was looking at those disciples, and He was saying, "Listen, you men, you 12, you can have an impact that reaches a community." Yeah, I was thinking about those 12 guys. Peter worked among the Jews as far as Babylon. James worked with Jerusalem in Judea. John went to Asia Minor. Andrew went to Greece. Philip went to Hierapolis. Bartholomew went to Armenia. Thomas went to Persia and to India. Matthew went to Ethiopia. James went to Egypt. Jude went to Assyria. And Saul, who later became Paul, went to the very center of Rome. And every one of those men made an impact. And that's why we're here today, is the outgrowth of their life and their impact in their ministry. Let me tell you something. You can make a worldwide impact. I pray that when my run is over, that God will grant me the ability to see that there are men and women who are scattered all over this world that are walking with God and that their lives are making a difference. And through their lives making a difference, my life will have made a difference for the kingdom. That's the impact that will last. Let me just encourage you, don't let these just be words, a cute outline. Let this be a blueprint for your life. That you would walk with God in integrity, that you would know your mission, that you would be perceptive right now to where God is at work, that you would take action right where you are, right now to have impact. That you would cooperate with other believers in advancing God's kingdom. And then you would find some that you can transmit your life into and infect them with the impact lifestyle that will take this world by storm. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. Father, I love You, God. I celebrate what You are doing. I celebrate what You have done in this place. Father, thank You for the impact that Max has had on so many people. Father, thank You for those that You have brought into my life that have followed this pattern, and God, how You have multiplied their ministry. God, I pray that You would raise up men and women in this place that would live the impact lifestyle. That these would not just be idle words, God, but maybe they would begin with a tremendous sense of repentance, Father. That we are not walking in integrity, that we do not understand our mission, and that we are easily distracted. That we are not perceptive to what You're doing, that we often do nothing. That we are not in cooperation, and there is nobody that's been infected with our life. Oh, God. I pray that You would do a renewing, refreshing work in us. that we would be filled with your Spirit. And take those words, just as the Father sent me, so send I you, very literally, that God, you would use us to make a difference right here and right now. And we pray this for your name and your glory and your kingdom and your renown and your honor.